An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Read by the author. Chapter 10. Plots and More Plots. Belle watched Little Jack swagger into his quarters. The door banged shut behind him. "Temper, temper," she chided. Little Jack spun around and stared. "Ah," he crooned, covering his initial surprise. "Me own private fairy decided to return." Strolling over to the porthole, he opened it, letting in the sharp, briny air. Turning back to her, he looked her up and down, appraising. "That's a pretty rig you're wearing." "Why, thank you," Belle preened.
"Not at all. Too bad your face seems to have aged a good deal in the last 5 years."
At her gasp, he gave an ugly grin and plunked himself into his favorite chair. "Is that any way to talk to your elders? And betters, I might add." She whipped through the air, fury powering her flight before she realized she'd never accomplish her aim that way. The upper hand was hers now. She needed to be careful to not relinquish her position. She landed on the small table to the right of the captain. "You look a bit tired," she said, her tone concerned.
"You think so?"
He lifted the hand mirror from the table and inspected himself worriedly.
He never changed.
Smiling inwardly, Belle strolled to the edge of the table. She studied him as a master artist studies her creation. "Perhaps you need to sip a drop of that life elixir you so carefully harvest from your dragon friend." He threw the mirror down with such force that it cracked. His claw grabbed at her.
"I'll do no such thing," he snarled. "I've almost enough. Do you know what that means? The elixir will generate real hands where I've none. I'll not waste it on petty pursuits."
His eyes narrowed with greed. His lips curled in excitement.
"And if you think you're going to convince me to use it to restore your own youth, 'tis folly. I know your tricks."
Belle's eyes widened in feigned surprise.
"Of course you do," she crooned, stroking the claw that clutched her. "My dear good boy, no one knows me better."
Other than Peter, she thought, and what good can he do me now?
"I didn't come to fight with you. I came because I missed you."
Little Jack's grip loosened. He stared at her hand as she petted his steel claw. He couldn't feel the caress, of course, but the sight of it seemed to mesmerize him. Easing onto the claw, Belle walked up the steel forearm to the elbow. She felt the mechanical joint underfoot before stepping onto real flesh. Long ago, when she'd first taken up with him, he'd confided the story of how his parents decided the malformed digits, or flippers, he'd been born with, should be amputated. He was never allowed to even see how useful they could be. Poor boy. He'd been ripe for her nurturing influence. Bringing him to the Neverland had been an act of mercy. Deciding to adopt him had been sheer genius. Before Peter left for good, it would never have occurred to Belle to go out of her way for anyone. But in the absence of her dear companion, she'd grown so lonely. Of all the youngsters left in her kingdom, Little Jack had the most potential. The oddball factor that called him to become a pirate was actually his ambition, a quality even Peter Pan hadn't had. She'd help him bring it to fruition. The fact that he'd adored her in the process hadn't hurt any. She needed to be adored as much as Little Jack needed to be powerful. "You are my only protege, after all," Belle crooned, "even if we did disagree over that thing." She waved a hand as though the dividing issue 5 years ago had been insignificant, rather than a matter that doomed her life as she knew it. The night he'd fed Angela Baker and Giorgio Pizzini to Singeraz had been the beginning of the end. She'd left for the Crystal City that same night.
Were you here in time to hear me performance? Little Jack's gruff tone didn't hide his eagerness. She laughed, nodding and clapping. It was wonderful. Wasn't it, though? He grinned, gold crowns flashing. Just imagine how marvelous me playing will be with real hands.
Yes, I'm sure. She cleared her throat. In a way, that's why I'm here. Becoming a concert pianist will require hours of your time, will it not?
She took his nod as confirmation.
How will the ship run itself without your vigilant eye? Surely you don't think Flea is up to the task?
His brow furrowed. He growled.
Why? What is it you're suggesting?
Oh, nothing at all.
Standing on his shoulder, she blew in his ear.
That tickles. Stop it, Belle.
The pirate captain wriggled like a little boy.
I was just thinking how hard it will be for a man of so many talents to focus on just one.
She fluttered her wings against his neck, eliciting more laughter.
I don't imagine you'll have time to continue feeding that silly old dragon. Those raids, those long flights. An artist needs his rest.
Ah!
Giving a final shudder of ticklish pleasure, Little Jack reached his hook up to flick her off his shoulder. The hook met not fairy but air.
So that's what this is about, he seethed,
his mood changing with the speed of a fairy's. Belle sat in her cage and smiled. The bars were too widely set to keep her in. It was only a game of theirs. He played the master, she played the prized treasure.
Well, don't worry your pretty red head about that, Miss Belle. If anyone can do it all, I can. Besides, I've been training Flea on the raids.
Thorns and stingers! He isn't going to stop. I should have known his greed wouldn't allow it. He wouldn't stop after killing Piper's parents, even when I begged him to. Why would he stop now?
Belle kept the frustration from her face. Wait, something he'd said.
But if Flea runs the raids, won't that make him the new Dragon Keeper?
Little Jack jammed his hook into the small table, splintering the wood.
Shut up, you blasted female! He roared.
Wrenching his hook free, he leaned back into his chair, taking a moment to control himself.
Since you're so smart, perhaps I'll leave the problem up to you.
His voice dripped with the false sugar of rancid honey.
If you can't come up with something, I'll find me a younger, prettier mother.
She started up before recognizing the bait.
Ah, but come to think of it, you don't always get your way, do you?
His eyes sparkled, and he fairly drooled with glee.
I seem to recall you summoned the mighty Sinkaraz, the beast you so desperately want to get rid of now, didn't you?
How did you put it? You got me a worthy opponent.
Whose opponent is he now, little mother of mine?
He threw back his head in a laugh. The sound chilled Belle to the bone. She could not control her fury. She flew at him, stopping in midair, level with his blue eyes.
We'll see who has things all figured out. Remember, Peter's heir can solve my problem in a flash.
His face froze.
You did say that just the other day, didn't you?
His eyes took on a calculating look.
Tell me this, then. If you've got this pan to save your fool self and your nasty little world, why are you here with me?
Those descendants of Peter's, he continued, his tone pitched to bait her.
The lass had spirit, an attractive woman, but her mate was a useless society snake, didn't know a crossjack from a scuttlebutt.
He smoothed his goatee with his claw.
Fortunately, it didn't put off Sinkaraz's appetite. He consumed them, Pan's heirs or no, and he'll do the same to another Pan, trust me.
Ah, but he won't,
bell flared. "This one's not ripe enough for your dragon friend, so you can forget your schemes, little Jack, and start watching your back." She taunted him, enjoying every second, "because this one is already safe with me." She hadn't meant to tell him. She really hadn't. Not straight out like this, but she just couldn't help herself. The man had grown too big for his britches. She darted out the open porthole on her way before little Jack could shut his gaping mouth. "He had that coming, and it felt good," she steamed as she careened blindly overland, returning to Trouble's camp. She didn't even try to gain altitude. As long as she was flying, who cared if it wasn't high? Ignoring a twinge of guilt, she gloried in having had the last word. The closer she got, the sharper the twinges became. As much as she didn't want little Jack to be killed, neither did she want Trouble's demise. When she saw the girl's form at a distance, curved over the logs where she'd left her, Belle halted, momentarily stricken. "I did the best thing," she sputtered, to the Peter she carried in her mind. "I've no cause to worry about Trouble, Peter. She can take perfectly good care of herself. She already knew of the pirate captain." Belle tried to convince herself. "I just evened the playing ground. Now both parties will be on their guard." Captain Little Jack stood, hoping to settle the roiling, sick feeling in his belly. "Peter's heir here?" he breathed. "It can't be." He wiped beads of perspiration from his forehead. "Ah, but I know that fair firefly all too well," he said, shaking his head. "She might not keep her word, but she cannot lie outright to save her own hide." "Flee!" He had only to bark the name once before the little man appeared.
"She's ship-shape, Cap'n. Never better. 'Tis a fair wind blowin', and she sailed like an angel."
Flea carried on, blind to his captain's agitation. "The crew working like a well-oiled machine. If you ask me, sir, taking them to see the dragon feet keeps them on their toes."
"Shut up, Flea," the captain growled. "I didn't call you in to report on the Jolly Roger."
He stood at the porthole, gazing toward land.
"It's that fairy, Flea. She's up to something. I want you to take 2 men and travel to Pan's old hideaway. That underground home place. Don't let your presence be known. Just see if Belle's there and who, if anyone, is with her. Then report back to me."
Little Jack remained at his post long after his mate shoved off. Did his eyes deceive him?
"Blast it all," he cursed, pushing the porthole shut.
The longer he gazed at the hills, the more he thought perhaps they wore a fuzz of new growth.
"If that's green I see," he hissed, "I'll rip someone's head off with me hook."
Pip spotted the incoming bright light plowing toward her like an overgrown hummingbird and ran to meet it.
"Belle, look! Can't you give a gal a chance to get settled?"
The fairy's irritation didn't squelch Piper's excitement.
"Oh, sure, sorry, it's just that..."
She halted, staring at the fairy's long red evening gown.
"Wow, that's some dress."
"Thank you." Was it her imagination, or did Belle throw her a guilty glance? No matter, the little fireplug wouldn't get under her skin, not tonight.
"Well, when you get a minute, come look."
She dashed back over to the worksite.
The progress bowled her over. She'd stood here all afternoon watching them, and it still amazed her. "Those termites are really something, see?"
Belle perched on a limb above.
"Of course. I told you delegating was the way to go."
"Yeah, but I had no idea they could work so fast." She pointed out the progress.
"See? They've already formed the tops of all the benches. Now they're working their way down, hollowing it out as they go."
She knew she probably sounded over-enthusiastic.
"It already looks like a long boat." "Sure wish I could have gotten you to summon that kind of feeling for your flying lesson." Pip glared half-heartedly at Belle.
"Maybe termites are your lovely, wonderful thought."
The fairy shifted her attention to the other log, where the carpenter ants worked.
"What about the other crew?"
"They've already divided that log into 7 pieces, 6 the same length and the 7th a little longer. They'll make the oars from those."
Piper shook her head. "It's hard to believe. I'd have never thought itty-bitty insects could do something like that so well and so fast."
"Watch it with the itty-bitty, kid. Just because something's small doesn't mean it isn't mighty."
Belle's mouth curved up in spite of her sharp tone. Good, Pip thought. She wanted Belle to share her excitement about rescuing the other foster girls. No way could she do it without her help. She'd do whatever it took to stay on the old fairy's good side. Of course, she didn't even want to think about whether the girls would want to come with her. Sure, they'd be happy to leave Fitch's last-ditch foster home, but would they trust her enough to come to a place they didn't believe in? Pip rubbed at her eyes, trying to make the worries go away. She stifled a yawn.
"It's getting late," Belle clapped her hands twice. "Time to blow the whistle for the evening."
With a whirr of wings and a tinkle of bells, she sent the insect crews marching off in their respective directions.
"Will they be back tomorrow?"
"Of course."
"Now I'll show you where to get honey for your spring water. Then we'll watch the sunset, as pale as it is these days, and get to bed. Tomorrow afternoon we'll be on our way. You'll need a good night's sleep."
Pip grinned and for half a second felt like she was floating. As soon as she looked at her feet, she was back on the ground. She must have imagined it. An hour later, she snuggled in her never-tree, suspended hammock, a new birch-bark blanket tucked under her chin. Excitement overruled fatigue. She had a rescue mission to plot, not to mention a battle to plan for defeating a pirate captain and his crew. And somewhere in there, she had to make a team out of the suspicious, motley group of girls that called themselves the Lifers.
"You were right, Cap'n."
Seated at the piano, the captain barely looked up from his afternoon scales when Flea reported back. Scales, first with his claw, then with his hook. Practice was a private concern, no audience required.
"Well, don't keep me waiting, you crab-brained swab. Spill the bilge, or cut cables and run."
A twist of his hook, and he had the bothersome man by the collar, without even looking. Flea stood at attention. His stomach growled.
"Aye, aye, Cap'n."
He spoke carefully so the hook at his throat wouldn't puncture flesh.
"The fairy was at Peter Pan's old hideout. She seemed to be doing business with a fleet of insects."
"She was doing what, Flea?"
Captain Littlejack purred the question.
I don't know exactly, Cap'n. It looked like she was watching 'em tear up old logs."
"Odds, bobs, hammer and tongs."
Hook's favorite expression always bought him time to think. It made his men uncomfortable.
"Sounds suspicious," he said. "But we'll let that go for the moment. Was she alone?"
"No, Cap'n."
Flea shuddered involuntarily.
"I knew it."
Anticipation of defeating a truly worthy opponent warmed Little Jack's heart, or the spot where he thought his heart would be if he had one.
"Who else was there?"
"Just a slip of a girl, Cap'n."
"A girl? Confound it, man, don't mock me. Did you say a girl?"
"Aye, aye, Cap'n.
Short brown hair, about yay tall, round green eyes. Kind of cute, really, Cap'n. A girl."
Little Jack stared at his mate until the man's mottled face told him he was telling the truth.
"A girl, eh? Imagine. Pan's heir. A girl."
"Pan's heir? You mean Peter Pan, Cap'n?"
Flea made a sign to ward off evil.
"Stop that foolishness."
Little Jack's face felt like it might split, his grin stretched so wide. He'd never fought the legendary Peter Pan.
He'd been too busy swabbing decks and polishing brass as a lad to do more than glimpse Hook's nemesis. Now he'd have a pan of his own to challenge. "That's no cause for alarm," he practically hummed the words. "None at all. 'Tis almost a disappointment, really. A female is no threat. In fact, a female can be tricked into anything." The captain punctuated his words with music, gliding his claw over the piano keys, top to bottom, in an elegant glissando. "I repeat, a female can be tricked into anything."